Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Post Games of Ancient Greece Recovery Unit here at Car Talk Plaza. Actually, the games went very well. There was one minor injury to report over at the tire rotation event. My brother wasn't paying attention. It took a P205-75R15 radial in the butt. Did that tread mark come out in the wash or what?
Yeah, but I won't come off my butt.
Actually, later on, we'll give you a little more recap of the games, and we'll be talking to the winner of the Games of Ancient Greece contest for a first-hand report, because he was the only one that paid attention. We were hanging around the food the whole time.
It was awesome. I must admit, it was an absolutely awesome day, and I hope that next time we do this, we can do it for the entire country. We'll have a, what do they call it, a town meeting,
an
electronic town games. People will be able to participate. Ross Perot will be there.
Yes.
And we will all participate by virtue of technology.
Why should we limit this
to a few thousand people?
That's right.
The entire world should take... Okay, I'm sorry.
Are you ready to take a call? I know you have no mail to read because I took the folder and threw it before the start of the show.
No, I have mail.
No. 1-800...
Right in this bag here. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can find...
1-800-332...
I don't have any. What'd you do with the folder?
It'll be returned next week, miraculously. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. Tony from Texas.
Tony from Texas. We're back to the alliteration.
Tony with an I, of course.
Absolutely.
So what's up, Tony?
Well, we have a 1971 Ford F-250 pickup that has recently become possessed.
Okay, now we know you don't live anywhere.
Not repossessed.
No.
No, not repossessed. One evening we were relaxing in the living room and we started hearing a horn. And, you know, first we kind of ignored it. We didn't say too much. And then... You know, I kind of noticed the horn was still blowing and told my husband, gosh, I wish whoever that was would just go out and fix it. And then the dog started barking, and then we went outside and realized it was ours.
It was.
Isn't that embarrassing, especially when after all the nasty things you said
Absolutely.
About whoever owns that stupid vehicle, you'd think they have the brains to go out and figure out, and it's you. I guess there's some kind of poetic justice in that.
Well, needless to say, we went ahead and we disconnected the horn.
Good.
Yeah. And in the meantime, though, we've decided we're going to sell this vehicle because we no longer need it. We use it primarily for hauling things and nurseries and whatever. But now we're going to go ahead and get it ready for sale, but we got to fix the horn. And when we went ahead to try and reconnect it,
yeah.
it still just continued to blow.
Yeah.
So we disconnected it again, and we start going piece by piece. And when you sit in the cab of the truck and you press the button for the horn,
right.
we can hear the clicking at the solenoid.
At the relay.
Right. But then when we connect it from there to the horn is where it just keeps blowing. And we don't know if the horn is just, you know, do we need a new horn?
Or no.
Do we need new wiring in there? Or where we can't figure out where the problem is because we've done this so many times. And we know it's a simple thing, but... Sometimes for us, simple things are the hardest.
Well, it is simple because there aren't a lot of pieces, right? I mean, there's the horn button on the steering wheel, and then there's a wire that goes to the relay, and then there's the relay, and then there's a wire from the relay to the horn, and there's the horn.
Right, and the horn's doing its job. It's supposed to blow. Whenever it gets electricity, if it blows, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, the problem with the horn so far is, like, it's a little Calabrese woman that when she starts going, she doesn't quit.
You know my mother?
I know my mother.
So you've got this...
You can eliminate the horn because a horn by itself can't fail in that direction.
How many wires are on this horn?
Looks to be two.
Looks to be two.
There's when the wires from the relay to the horn are wrapped. And when we take the wrapping off to take a look and see how many in there, I think my husband's the one that's been looking at this, but it looks like there's, of course, two positive, two negative.
But there's only one connection at the horn. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That wire hooks onto the horn. Are there any other wires coming out of the horn at that point?
No.
So there's one wire to each horn.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Start by replacing the relay. You know where that is because that's the thing that clicks when you have the horn disconnected.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's less than $10.
Yeah.
When that doesn't fix it, then you've got to take the steering wheel apart because the problem could be there, but I don't think so. Because if you can make the thing go click, 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 click by pressing the horn button.
Right.
Then that means that you're making and breaking the circuit, but something on the other side of the relay is not breaking and is sending current continuously to the horn. It's got to be the relay.
Okay.
Watch it be something else. But it's, no, it's...
Well, it's a 90% chance it's the relay.
90%.
And that's good enough for us.
Yeah, 90% is good enough.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, we work with 90% pretty well.
Oof, yeah.
Now, the relay, it consists of two pieces.
Okay.
And half of the relay is working. The other half is welded shut.
Yeah.
And that's why the horn blows all the time.
Uh-huh.
And the part that's working is the part that gets actuated when you press the horn button.
Hey, here's a little... This is going to be a fun test. Here's what you're going to do, Tony. Since you're going to replace this relay anyway, before you replace it, whack it with a hammer. And I'll bet you whacking it with a hammer will fix the horn. If it doesn't...
He's tried that on me for years and it hasn't worked.
If it doesn't, so what? You're going to throw the damn thing away.
Okay, that's good.
No, it always does your heart good to whack something with a hammer. So give it a nice boom.
We'll give it a couple of taps and then we'll go buy another relay.
Sure, in fact, while you're at it, why don't you break a few headlights too? See you later, Tony.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She was evidently not in the part of Dallas where they all drive Mercedes.
I was going to say that. I didn't think her spread was near South Fork, but I didn't want to mention that. 1-800-332-9287. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ron Gregory. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Hi, Ron. Ron. What's up, man?
Well, I've got a question for you about an Infiniti. I just purchased the new Q45, and I've been reading about these computer chips that can improve the power on the engine. As a matter of fact, the company that makes the chips are telling me that it can increase the horsepower by 22, and I'm just curious of how does that affect the engine wear or the catalytic converters, or is it going to hurt the car, in other words?
Well, you know, I ordinarily wouldn't recommend it, but for cheap cars like this, I mean, what, you know, if you're wrecking,
what can go wrong?
Yeah, what's the difference?
It's only about an $8,000 engine anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it. I mean, what harm can it do?
Well, who knows is the answer. I mean, there are all kinds of companies who, in fact, make these chips. And I thought that was interesting, first of all, that they should think that anybody would want these chips, and the fact that people do want them.
How many car magazines do you receive in the mail, Ron?
Several.
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 More than five different ones a month?
No, about three.
And in which one of these did you find this ad?
Actually, this ad was in Road and Track.
Okay. Road and Track, a fine periodical. Fine. Fine.
And how much is it?
What was that, Road and Flack?
It's about $500 for the chip.
It is.
$500.
Ooh, I didn't realize.
Sonia Henny's tutu.
That's a lot. Why do you want to do this, Ron?
Well,
why do you want to destroy a car which is practically perfect? In fact, we were just working the other day on our 10 best cars of the year.
It was our one day a month to work.
And... Infiniti, the Q45 immediately comes to mind. I mean, there's no list you can leave it off of. It's a magnificent, perfect car.
But Ron feels it's a little underpowered,
but not
eh?
For you, huh?
Just a little. I'd like to get a little more out of it, if possible.
What was your previous car?
Believe it or not, I had a Porsche.
Oh, that explains that. I was going to guess that you had some high-performance car. And this, but aren't you enjoying now that you're older? And your bones are more brittle. Aren't you enjoying the comfort and the quiet of this car?
And are you suing Dr. Porsche for all the problems you got with your body now?
That's it. I've never been able to straighten up since I got out of the Porsche.
Why did you go from a Porsche to an Infiniti?
Well, actually, the Infiniti, I liked it because of the power that it had, but I thought if we could tweak it a little more, I would go for it.
Well, I would recommend against this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are probably all kinds of good reasons that I can't cite, but I would recommend against it because I think it'll probably violate your warranty.
I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. But what the hell does Ron care? He's got it. He doesn't care. If the car is not to your liking, I mean, why should you drive around in a $40,000 car and always feel as though it's not quite right. I mean, for that kind of money, you should want perfection. You deserve perfection.
Maybe you could make an anonymous call to Infiniti and ask them what this would do to the warranty.
Oh, right. Don't even waste your time. You know exactly what they're going to say.
They're going to say leave it alone.
Well, maybe they'll be interested in where you got this. Maybe they'll want a few.
By the same token, they don't have to know that you've done it.
Thomas.
What?
Bite your tongue, lad.
I mean, how will they ever know?
It's interesting because the company that makes the chip said exactly that. There's no way for them to tell.
Yeah, that's right. I think you should go for it.
I think it's dishonest.
It is dishonest. And I don't think you're going to have any trouble there.
I could not condone it or accept it in any way, shape, or form. But let us know how you like it. Thanks, Ron.
I'll give you a call back when I get it.
All righty.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Hey, the Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. If you're like most people, there's been a time where you had to stop working on your car because you didn't have the right parts. But eBay Motors thinks the only thing that should slow your car down is the brakes, or maybe friction, but not a lack of parts. That's why eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. In fact, they have 122 million parts, all at your disposal. That way, you can keep your project moving and your car not just running, but running in style. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Hey, no, this is normally the time during the show when we give the answer to last week's puzzle.
Yeah, let's do that. What about old Krusty? What a guy. There we were.
But there wasn't any puzzle last week. You see, the puzzle was on summer vacation. Like, we're going to be in a few weeks. Well, we're not sure that we're going to do about the fill-in host. Who's going
to
fill in
for us? I've talked to Jay Leno about it. He said he already has a gig.
He does, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we tried to get Scott Simon, but he ended up signing up with NBC, so yeah, we're in trouble. Anyway.
Deadbeat.
The puzzler will be back in the fall, and if you have a puzzler that you'd like us to use, you can send it to us here at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Mass. 02215. And if we use your puzzler, we may send you a copy of our mediocre book.
If we use your puzzler and you catch us using it.
Oh, right. We may send you a copy
we'll
of our mediocre book. If we have any left. And who are going to be the hosts while we're gone?
I don't know.
So, hey.
Who would you like to have? Let's think about that for a minute.
Maybe we should have our listeners. No, let's not do that. 1-800-332-9287.
I'd like Jackie Mason to be on. He's good.
Yeah, he's good, yeah.
Dennis Miller would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone else? Together?
And Carl Sagan.
Of course.
We're going to have Carl Sagan. David Frost. And Dick Cavett.
All right. Sounds good. All at the same time.
See, all those guys together might have possibly an IQ equivalent to 10 of us.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mary from Chicago.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Not too bad.
Are you really from Chicago or you're from, like, some little suburb?
Well, actually, now I live in the suburb.
Tell the truth, Mary. Come on.
Naperville.
Naperville, yes.
Naperville.
Yes,
we've heard of that.
Well, that's not Chicago.
Well,
it's very different. See, if we don't have
She figured a couple of yahoos like us wouldn't know.
Well, if we don't have a clear picture of who you are, Mary, how can we give you truthful and accurate answers to your questions?
I've only been in Naperville for 6 weeks.
Oh, all right, then you are a Chicagoan.
I've been downtown in the loop for a year, so I still feel like I'm
okay.
Chicago.
I just want to get the right story here, you know?
Okay. So anyway, Mary, why did you call us?
I'm being offered a company car.
Mm.
And I have a choice between a Mercury Sable, a Chrysler New Yorker, or a Jeep Cherokee. And I really don't know very much about the New Yorker or the Cherokee. I had rented a Sable a couple of times in my lifetime. But I don't know which car to choose.
This is a very, very interesting choice.
Well, we can narrow it down.
Wait a minute. How the hell did the company... I'm thinking about this. Why would the company... I mean, if you were the person in charge of...
Procurement?
Of giving out cars, why would you have chosen these three cars? You'd want to be able to satisfy everybody. And this choice says something about the company.
First of all, it says something about your understanding of who gets company cars.
Well,
people that are 20 don't get them.
Will you let Mary talk?
I'm sorry.
Shed some light on it, Mary.
We're a car rental company.
Okay.
That takes care of that theory.
And these are the dogs that they can't rent, huh?
Are you going to get a new one of these or one of the ones that they're...
Brand new.
Brand new.
Right off the lot.
Okay. Gee whiz.
All right, well, first of all, which one of the three do you like? You've obviously seen them all and maybe even driven them all.
I pondered starting that way myself.
Well, I drive a Nissan Sentra right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a 5-speed. It zips around. It has enough power for me. It's a fun car to drive. So these three cars really are a lot different now from what I'm used to.
Yeah, they certainly are. All right, let me ask a few very, very personal questions, Mary. First of all, we'll go through and try to eliminate one of these cars. Are you under 20?
No, better. Do you dye your hair blue?
That was my question. Do you? That was it.
No, I do not.
You do not?
You realize that you have to be a certain age to do that.
You do not dye your hair blue. That eliminates the New Yorker from consideration.
Well, have you made any inquiries about dyeing your hair blue?
Okay.
So then I would say New Yorker's out because it's not for a swinger like you.
Not for a swinger. Okay, now, next question. Are you under 30? Do you wish you were under 30? Or are you a yuppie?
I feel like I'm 30. I don't ever want to be 30 again.
That's enough. That's enough. That eliminates the Cherokee from consideration.
Oh, darn it.
And you...
I had a feeling that you wanted the Cherokee. Instead, you're going to get 2,000 Eskimo pies.
You want the Cherokee, huh?
Well, I don't know anything about a Cherokee. How does it handle?
That's pretty nice handling vehicle.
Uh-huh.
But you got to make sure that it is the new Grand Cherokee. Okay. If it is the plain old junk Cherokee, you don't care about. You don't want that. If it's the old one, even though it's a brand new one, if it's not the newly designed, just came out Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
But have you looked at it yet?
No.
No. I would take a look at the new Grand Cherokee if that's one of the ones that they really are offering you.
Uh-huh.
It's very sharp looking. In fact, we had it for an extended test drive.
Yeah.
We had it for about a week and a half.
I think it's the one for you myself, to tell you the truth. Because the Sable is a little bit too sedate, I would say, for you.
Uh-huh.
You're a little bit more fun than that, right?
How do they perform, or how do they compare in terms of safety?
Safety.
Well, the Sable's probably safer.
Sable's probably the best of the three.
Yeah.
The new Cherokee has not been crash tested. The old Cherokee...
Well, we're going to do that this weekend.
The old Cherokee was okay, but not as good as the Sable.
Huh. Well, why not the New Yorker?
Because you're not old enough for it yet, Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be to won the New Yorker.
Well, our dad just bought one a few years ago, and he's 85 now. He wasn't ready for it until then either.
Well, I had rented a Lincoln Continental to take to Florida.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what I didn't like about that car was that I could not feel the road. I felt like I was guiding it, not driving it. Is the New Yorker like that?
The New Yorker is, yeah, there's a great deal of separation between you and the road. You have to open the door and drag your foot if you want to feel the road.
A lot of cars are like that.
But people that buy those cars want that feeling. They don't want to feel the road.
If you want to feel the road...
Get the Cherokee.
The Cherokee.
Get the Cherokee.
Yeah. I think the Cherokee's for you. I can sense, Mary, that the Cherokee is what you want.
Right. If you really want to feel the road, get one of last year's models.
Okay, how do I know for certain that this is the model?
You say, is this the one that was just introduced this year?
Okay.
And if the answer is yes, that's the one. And it looks different from the old.
I think it may even say something like Grand Cherokee on it. I'm not sure.
It does say it.
But it may even say it on it.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Mary.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your new car, whatever it is.
I will.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
Back and listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to answer your questions about cars and car repair and new automotive applications of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil. Why don't we keep mentioning them? Do we want some more free olive oil or what?
Well,
Jen didn't get any. When they sent us a free case of olive oil, and she didn't get any, so she was very disappointed.
Well, what can we say, except isn't that too bad?
Tough, Jen. I think was what you
tough.
Said.
Well, I think that's what I said. Tough, Jen. Next well, time, grab faster. Can't be a little lady around here.
I guess not. Well, look, this is normally the time during the program where we introduce the new puzzler.
Right. And so, what about Christy?
But the puzzler is what?
Gone. Lousy.
Well, it's also gone. But we're hoping that a little break will do the puzzler some good. I mean, you know, a little R&R and a little renewal, refreshing.
R&R always will do you some good. I'm going on vacation. Did I tell you that?
Right. So we hope that the puzzler will come back, you know.
Refreshed.
Refreshed.
And, renewed.
Yeah, and then
and
what?
Lousy.
Right. Anyway, if you have a good puzzler, and I mentioned, you know, as I mentioned, good, that you think we might be able to use when the puzzler gets back, please, please, please send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Potential Puzzler Division, or PPD, as we refer to in the trade.
PPD, right.
Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Mah, 02215.
We're going to discuss the games of Greece yet?
Well, in a minute, but we have to take a call first, right?
Sure. All right. Okay. I just wanted to tell people all about it. It was
well,
great.
We will shortly. In the meantime, if you would like to talk to us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barbara in Allen, Texas.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Why did you hesitate there? Did you forget who you were?
She was trying to think of a good alias, a believable alias. Barbara, my foot.
What's your real name? Come on, Barbara. I know you don't want anyone to know what you're listening to here, but we won't mention your name.
Now, Barbara's good enough for us. What's up, Barbara?
I have an 89 Toyota pickup. It works just fine, except at about 50 miles an hour. It's usually right at 50 miles an hour. If I'm kind of going up any kind of little incline, it hiccups.
Hiccups? Kinda,
yeah, well, that's the best way to describe it. It acts like I've let off the accelerator real fast and pushed it back on.
It does that just once?
Uh-huh.
Just
and
once.
And, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, a few miles down the road later, if I happen to be going up an incline at that speed, it does the same thing again.
But if you were going up a long incline, would it only do it once or would it do it several times?
Maybe a couple of times.
You don't have any big long inclines in Texas.
No, we don't.
That's the problem, isn't it?
When was the last time that you had a tune-up done?
I've had a tune-up done since this problem started.
You have.
Uh-huh, and the problem is still there.
And were they apprised of this condition?
Uh-huh, but they said, well, we'll have to take it out, you know, and try to drive it and see if it does it, but I wasn't able to leave it with them long enough for them to do it.
Does it always do it?
No.
What if you drive at a steady 50 or 60 miles an hour on a straightaway, flat? Will it ever do it then?
No.
Not consistently.
Oh, but it might sometimes do it then also.
Uh-huh, but just it hasn't done it consistently.
Every once in a while.
Is it more likely to do it if you have weight in the truck?
Nope.
There goes theory L.
Okay, I'm just crossing these babies off one at a time here. All right, I'm down now to overinflated tires.
89.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like an engine miss.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I would think it kind of feels, that's kind of what it feels like. But.
Yeah, and even though the way you described it was as though you took your foot off the gas and put it back on again.
Like a little jolt, like a very momentary interruption of power.
Yeah. Right.
Which is what you would get if you had the spark interrupted to
exactly.
One of the cylinders even, for one stroke.
Right. So even though you described it as taking your foot off the gas, I don't think it's a gas-related problem. I think it's an electrical problem.
I'm going to guess that you have a bad spark plug wire. And maybe they didn't pick this up in the tune-up.
Okay.
And that's the cause of your problem.
Well, I'll have them check it. I've got to take it in for an oil change.
Take it in, let them drive it, and suggest to them that they double-check the plug wires, because I think that's where your problem is.
Okay.
All righty?
That sounds terrific.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call, Barbara.
Bye, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, you know what we have on the phone?
No.
I don't either, but I was hoping that you knew. We have the winner of the Games of Ancient Greece contest.
Ed Dorsum, my buddy?
Hey, Ed.
How you doing?
Hey, Ed. I want you to know that I'm sorry that you guys don't live in Boston, our fair city. Because I have to say, you were wonderful guests.
Well, you were wonderful hosts.
Weren't we?
Yeah, you were delightful.
And you didn't really mind the bologna sandwiches, huh?
Bologna sandwiches and the Dodge Dart were all great.
Well, we should explain that, Ed, some people may not have been present when we announced that Ed was the winner.
Right.
And last week, Ed, his wife...
Sandy.
Very good.
John.
Don't tell me. John and Jane.
Jan. Good. You did the same thing Dan Quayle did. He added an E.
That's right. And I tell you guys were absolutely wonderful. And it was a pleasure to have you here.
Well, you were great hosts. It was a wonderful time. It was probably my only chance to attend MIT.
Even at that, they didn't let you in the buildings.
No.
They did when it rained.
They did. That was nice.
We didn't get to really see much of the games. You know, we were busy. What were we busy? Watching the barbecue.
I think eating.
But did you participate in any of the actual games?
I just kind of walked around being amazed that I was there. But my wife pinned the tail on the Dartra.
She did, huh?
And she was in the horn relay race.
Good. Oh, then she didn't win, though. She was probably too fast.
She didn't know it was the slowest team.
Well, we didn't either until we went to judge them.
So how were John and Jan? Did they live through it?
Yes. Everybody had a great time. They were very happy that we had invited them, and we want to do it again next year.
Yeah, you got to paint a better picture. See, we don't know what it was like. You got to tell people what it was like. I mean, give them a what do they call that?
Of happy people walking around in Car Talk T-shirts, playing strange games, Ultimate Hubcap, and Volvo Ball.
Volvo Ball, pin the taillight on the dart.
Barbecue, drinking iced coffee and eating ice cream, and just having a. Heck of a good time.
And listening to music by the Boogaloo Swamis.
Right, those guys were good.
we should have mentioned, I mean, you probably didn't know, but all of the equipment for those games, I mean, that was some pretty high-class equipment, was it not?
High-tech was the term.
High-tech and high-class.
To people.
All of that was supplied by Nissenbaum's Auto Junkyard. In Somerville / Cambridge, our fair city, Massachusetts. I mean, they supplied all those tires and all those seats and all those
shocks. And the shock absorbers and the discs for the discus breakers.
Discuses. They supplied everything. And when I said to Joe, thank you, Joe. This is Joe Nissenbaum.
He said, that's a bunch of junk anyway.
That's what he said to me. He said, what the hell? I was going to throw it away anyway. No, it was wonderful of them. So... it was a great time.
It was great.
And I'm glad you came.
I'm real glad you let us come.
Well, yeah. We hope to see you next year. Of course, you'll have to pay your own way, because if you win next year, they'll know it's rigged.
Then he
That's
won't
right.
come.
So there is a rule against winning 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I guess right. There is. Well, thanks for coming, Ed. We're glad that you were there. We had a great time, too.
Say hello to Sandy and John and Jan.
Will do.
Thanks, bye-bye,
Ed. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I should mention, too, that in addition to Joe Nissenbaum giving us all that wonderful stuff. Everyone did a wonderful job. We should really thank MIT. MIT, they did a fantastic job.
We should go to school there.
I tell you, I never had... did you ever have fun at MIT before? That
oh,
was
yeah.
the first time... Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun at it, too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why the grades were what they were.
That's right.
We had a couple of other little contests. People won gold and silver medals, of course.
Yes, for the participation games. In the games, right.
But also we had a contest for longest distance. We had two people, whose names I have right here, Dick and Pat Simon, who came for nothing else but the games from Jakarta, Indonesia.
No kidding. So they win a prize for that?
They won nothing.
Nah, well, a good time was had by all. Anyway, I must do this because it's time to say goodbye.
It is.
Another valuable hour of your time has been squandered listening to Car Talk. Our producer and lead vocalist on California Dreamin' is Doug Lavoisier Berman. Our assistant producer and dean of the Department of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer is Jennifer Conifer Gonifer Loeb. Our technical advisor and chief cosmetologist is John Bugsy Lawler. Oh, he's got a new title here. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Automotive medical research is done by Dr. Denton Fender. Our staff grammarian, acting philologist, is I am Shirley Wright. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah.
Well, you know, she's married to Frank Seurat. She wants to now go by the name of K. Seurat Seurat.
She didn't know that. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. Our staff composer, Bella Kartok. The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra, Sludgy Ozawa. And the manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. Less is more. The chairman of the Car Talk Physics Department is Victor Analysis. And, of course, our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known about town as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.